I've won and lost against the best. This old road's been a hell of a test. I'm still driving, I ain't slowing down. There's rules I love to break and bend, mistakes I've made again and again. But I tell you this, my friends, I'm still around. I hit it hard, man. So far, man. No laying up, no holding back.
And a good Monday morning, St. Louis, and all points north, east, south, and west. We welcome you in. This is the Monster Energy Drink, STL-Cars.com, Kings Court. And it's right here live on KevinSlaytonShow.com, as it is every Monday. Well, right now, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for sure. We hope to add Tuesdays and Thursdays back in as we move along and recover from the horrific car accident, but we're getting there. We're getting there. One more splint to be taken off this week, and then the knee surgery coming up in early May. So we're getting there. We are getting there. But we're glad to be back doing our Monday morning show. And, of course, we've been doing our noon show all along, our sports show on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. But this is the Monster Energy Drink, STL-Cars.com, current events show. And if you can't hear it live on Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, and mostly Monday through Friday, you can hear it on podcasts on Apple, Amazon, Google, Spotify, KevinSlaytonShow.com. Right here is where you're listening to it now. Of course, all the podcasts are here on our website. You can hear highlights of old interviews. You can read testimonials. There's a lot right here on the website that can keep you occupied if you're interested. So hopefully you are. Our phone lines are always open for you. Toll free. Gosh, I got two phone numbers. I got one in the sports show and one on this show, but this one is 636-348-4460. 636-348-4460. And we're glad that you are along for the ride. And we appreciate your support as well. Hope you had a great weekend. The weather finally brightened up into the 80s yesterday. It's supposed to be in the 80s again today. Maybe we can just get rid of the wind. I mean, that's the real key. Let's get rid of the wind, shall we? Wind. It's been the windiest, I would say winter slash spring, because we're into spring now, and it just continues to blow. Big stories to follow today, though. In addition to grabbing that Monster Energy drink and having a nice cold can of your Monster Energy drink to start your day, start your week. This is how you jumpstart your week. You get a kick of energy from Monster Energy drink, and man, away you go. I drink one a day. It's the Zero Ultra that I like the best, because that means zero sugar, 10 carbs, 6 calories. Or excuse me, 10 calories, 6 carbs. That's it. That's all. And it tastes great, and it's nice and ice cold coming right out of that refrigerator. And anywhere you find that green M, the claw-shaped green M, that's where you'll find Monster Energy Drink. They had their motocross here in St. Louis last weekend. Not this weekend, but a week ago. And it was fantastic. Great crowds, great results, parties around the event. Monster Energy Drink does it upright. And did you notice Tiger Woods' golf bag? Monster Energy golf bag. That's right. Monster Energy is now on the Tiger's golf bag. I love it. So we're where all the winners are, although Tiger hasn't been winning lately, and he struggled after Friday's round. But he did complete the record-breaking performance where he made the cut at the Masters 25 consecutive times. Now, that's when he could play, obviously. Those times he was injured and couldn't play didn't count against the streak. But 25 straight, that broke his streak that he had been holding with Freddie Couples and one other golfer, and I can't remember who the heck it is, to be honest with you, but who cares? It's Tiger's now, 25 straight years. And then he played like the broken-down athlete that he is the last 2 days, really. Almost looked like Tiger lost his focus, didn't care that much. It's hard to watch him hobble around. Looks like he's taking a lot of medication for it because he's very swollen. And it's a very sad thing to watch the Masters now with Tiger, with really Phil Mickelson out of contention all the time. Yesterday's Masters was about as boring as you could find one. And CBS, I noted, CBS, who loves to censor everything politically, has now started censoring sports. I mean, these networks are an embarrassment. They ought to all fold, and then we start over from ground zero and start again with all new people, people who actually respect the journalism business, who actually believe it is a noble or one time was a noble calling, because it certainly isn't now, that you could bring information to people, bring them the truth, bring them sets of facts, let them make their decisions, but not CBS. First, they censor your opinions, your political thought. Now they censor what they'll show you in a sporting event. I kept watching yesterday for Cam Smith and DeChambeau, two players who were in the top seven as the day progressed, and they would never show them their shots. And I started thinking, what do they have in common? Oh, I know. They both bolted the PGA Tour for the LIV Tour. Now, I'm no fan of the LIV Tour. I think it's absurd. It's a clown show. But they're paying hundreds of millions of dollars for these players to go join them. So, of course, the players do in some cases. Not all. But clearly CBS made a decision in concert with the PGA Tour of America to not show the LIV players as often as humanly possible. Yesterday, Cam Smith eagled the second hole to put himself in contention just three shots behind, and then we didn't see him again until the eighth hole when he was under a bush. So that's all they're going to show you are bad shots by LIV players, if they show them at all. CBS is a disgrace. CBS Sports now has joined, of course, CBS News as being a disgrace. We all knew CBS News was a disgrace for a long time, probably since the days of Walter Cronkite. Mike Wallace, not Chris Wallace. Chris Wallace was always a disgrace. Probably the most embarrassing thing his father ever had happen to him in his life was having that for a son. That would be a really bummer if I had a son like that. Good God, if anybody has a son like that. A coward? An egomaniac? Oh, my gosh. Who lives off his daddy's coattails? Good grief. Get something going on your own, you loser. And then he's a loser at that. He's got every door in the world open for him, and he's still a loser. So that's CBS for you. So that's what we saw yesterday, more censorship. Now it has trickled down into sports. What are they going to do if a horse joins the LIV Tour? In the Kentucky Derby, are they just going to not show the horse if it wins? I mean, it's reached absurd proportions. But that's the country we live in. It's not much of a country, is it? No, it's not. It really isn't. And so on Saturday night, because the so-called president of this country is such a weak sister, as we used to call them, just a panty waist, a candy ass, Iran attacks Israel. Blatant open war. Declaring war on Israel. Firing missiles, drone missiles, cruise missiles at Israel. In the hundreds, perhaps the thousands. 99% of which, according to the Israelis and the Americans, were shot out of the sky, intercepted by the Israeli dome defense that we, of course, have built the technology for, and we helped, I suppose, knock a few of them out of the sky as well. So 99% of them didn't even penetrate Israel, which shows us just how incompetent Iran is, and Iraq, and all the other places, Yemen that fired some of these missiles, all of these proxies of Iran. And what does Biden do? Pretty much nothing, which is what he's done with Iran all along, except funnel money to them and allow them to become unbelievably wealthy when Trump had strangled the life out of them. Iran was a dead doornail on the world stage under Trump. Biden revived them. Obama began the revival by giving them tens of millions, perhaps hundreds of millions, we'll never know for sure, in cash on pallets that he had delivered on the cover of darkness as he was going out of office. Trump got in and sanctioned the hell out of Iran to strangle their nuclear efforts as well as their oil-producing efforts. And then Biden got in and gave them everything they wanted. And this is what happens. And, of course, Biden is a tough guy act when he said he had one word for Iran if they were going to intervene in the Israeli-Hamas war, don't. Well, they did, and they continue to do, and they laugh at this clown. They mock him because that's what he is. He's a clown. Now, whose fault do you think they blame it on? They blame it on Donald Trump. John Kirby, who's one of the all-time cowards and spineless military people that has ever donned a uniform. You want to talk about a guy who's an embarrassment to all military members in our history? It's this coward. When he dies, he should not be buried in any military cemetery. Any. But he blames Donald Trump for it all.
It's hard to look at what President Biden has done with respect to Iran and say that he hasn't been tough on Iran, that we haven't put pressure on them, that we haven't additional 500 sanctions, additional resources in the region. And let's take a look at that ballistic missile. Okay, so they launched more than 100 ballistic missiles. And how many got through? And the reason it didn't get through was because President Biden made sure that we pre-positioned forces in the region to help Israel shoot them down. So this vaunted ballistic missile program of theirs didn't turn out to be so vaunted last night.
Why not support something that would have stopped that program, or at least contained it in some way, so it's not launching in Israel and we aren't having to get it involved defensively?
Again, Shannon, just look at the sanctions that we put in place against Iran. Look at the resources we put in this into the region. It's hard to take a look at what President Biden has done and say that we've somehow gone soft on Iran. It was the previous administration that decided to get us out of the Iran deal, and now Iran is so much dramatically closer to a potential nuclear weapon capability than they were before Mr. Trump was elected.
Can you believe that guy? First of all, Shannon, you're as weak as they come. The minute he said, look at the sanctions we put on, you should have said, what sanctions? That should have been the easiest follow-up question in the history of follow-up questions. What sanctions have you put on Iran that have hurt them? But in truth, you have funneled money to them by restoring their oil production, by giving them money for nuclear weapons development, and you're blaming Trump, who broke them financially? They had nothing. This regime would have been out of there had Biden not reversed everything Trump did in Iran. But Shannon Bream is too weak to ask the right questions. She started to when she said, what about relieving the sanctions that you've done? And he simply ignored her because he just slapped her around. That's how much respect he has for the female journalist, John Kirby does. And instead of following up on it, she just let him ignore it. Shannon Bream is weak. She's always been weak. She seems like a very nice woman, but she doesn't belong in a job where you have to actually ask serious questions. She doesn't belong there. She's not a journalist. She's a lawyer turned TV personality. That's what she is. She's terrible at her job. If you want to know what's going on at the Supreme Court, she's a perfect reporter for that. Put her there, but don't ever have her interview anybody of any importance because it's a waste of everybody's time. He just ran roughshod over her. Ignored her questions. She refused to follow up. And then he, of course, made an ass of himself at the end, blaming Trump. You know what? People in this country actually see through that nonsense. Now, you might think they don't, but they do. Anybody who blames Trump for every single thing in this world, everybody knows how full of crap John Kirby is. When you sit there and try to convince people that your toughness on Iran is something to be proud of, and that it was Joe Biden positioning our forces to handle these missiles coming in. How do you put, what did Biden get on a little big, little table and say, okay, I want these two guys here and these two guys over here, and then one here and one there. Is that how he positioned our forces to intercept the missiles? You dumbass. I don't know how many people are so uninformed that they don't understand how the military works, but Biden has nothing to do with it. Just so you understand. Absolutely nothing to do with it. So Kirby, you can mount that bull crap that you spew every day and think that people like Shannon Bream are going to sit there and take it, and people like her will, but regular people are too smart for you. I always believe this country's borderline illiterate, and I do believe that. They've proven it. It's not even a belief of mine. I've got ample proof to back it up. And yet when I always say the liberals always go too far. There's another example. You are insulting the intelligence of stupid people when you say something like that. And then to just completely ignore her questions. But to claim that Biden, these missiles were intercepted because Biden positioned the forces. Like Biden knows anything about military. He's probably never even played the board game War. And if he did, you'd kick his ass at it. But it was the military genius, Joe Biden. He's right up there with Patton and Eisenhower, isn't he? Omar Bradley. I always confuse Biden with those great generals of World War II. He's right there with him. Oh, God. The bullshit that comes out of Kirby's mouth is so sickening. And he's such a spineless coward. And my God, this man was born a liar. But then again, all liberals were born liars. I don't know a liberal that's not a liar. I don't know a liberal that's not intellectually lazy and uninformed. I believe it was President Trump, John Kirby, and his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, who did what no president in our history has been able to do, and that is negotiate peace settlements between 6 Arab Middle East countries and Israel. Not just peace, but commerce, whereby citizens of both countries were flying into each other's territories and doing business there, where businesses were joining forces and doing business together with the Israelis. Those were called the Abraham Accords. Trump and his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and Robert Lighthizer all negotiated those. Biden threw them all away. They're gone. You had some of those very countries firing missiles at Israel yesterday. This is all thanks to Biden. This is not coincidental. So if you want to see the record of Trump and Israel versus Biden and Israel, Trump moved our embassy to Jerusalem, which has been being promised by United States presidents since Reagan. None of them did it because none of them, I guess, had the courage to do it. I didn't realize it took courage. Trump did it immediately, actually following through on his word. Biden and his mentor, the corrupt racist Obama, the mulatto, didn't do it, even though they said they would do it. And then you compare the Abraham Accords with anything Biden has done. He's rejoined the Iran nuclear deal, which, of course, is not a nuclear deal, except for it allows Iran to develop a nuclear weapon. And then Iran attacks Israel directly after having over 180 proxy attacks on our military by Iran after Biden had said, don't. He's so tough. They sure respect him and pay attention to him, don't they? Congressman Jason Smith from Missouri, the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, begs to differ with Kirby's version.
What Iran did last night, just as the direct result of Biden's policies and Biden's rhetoric over the last several years as president. And that gave Iran the opportunity that they felt like it could go in and attack one of our greatest allies, Israel.
Well, they were our greatest ally, but Biden has decided to destroy any great relationship we had with Israel. In fact, he's tried to undermine their elected officials and change the power structure of Israel. He and his buddy Obama have tried to do that. John Ratcliffe, who was in the Trump administration, was Iran's action unprecedented?
You know, the word people keep using to describe this attack is unprecedented, and it is, but that's why it's ironic that we find ourselves in the all too familiar position of talking about a long list of deterrence failures by the Biden administration. Of course, the failure to deter Vladimir Putin from invading Ukraine, and then after the attack on Israel on October the 7th, the failure of the Biden administration with hollow talking points, you know, a single word, don't. And the response to that, as you know, was more than 170 attacks on U.S. forces and the deaths of 3 Americans, dozens of traumatic brain injuries. So clearly not working. And then You know, which is why I was surprised that those very same hollow words and threats from the Biden administration don't were used last week after Israel took out IRGC General Mohammed Zahedi, who was the architect of those October 7th attack. And again, it didn't work. An unprecedented attack, 300, you know, drones, missiles, rockets, including cruise missiles and ballistic missiles.
None of it worked. Because our military, thanks to Trump rebuilding the military, was ready for it. And the Israelis, of course, using our weaponry, was ready for it. So the Israelis could do much better without our help. The United States ought to just stay out of it, and Biden will, by the way, because he's a coward. He's already said we won't be supporting any Israel retaliation. Now, Biden's way of supporting is to say, oh, I support you, but then to show no support. Unless, of course, you want to give money to his darling Ukraine. Because, after all, Ukraine is the greatest money laundering machine in the history of mankind. That's why all these politicians, you watch Schumer now, watch all of them. The House is meeting to send funding to Israel. You watch, it won't even go to the vote. It won't even go for a vote in the Senate. Because that's Mr. Hairplugs. And he won't do it. He'll threaten the lives of Supreme Court justices, for which he should be in jail, but he won't help Israel, our greatest and strongest ally, forever, by the way. People say, well, what about England and France? And no, Israel. If we got in trouble, do you think France would come to our aid? Do you think England would come to our aid? No, but Israel would. And they're the only ones that I can think of that would. Maybe Japan, actually. Maybe Japan, who we fought in World War II. Maybe Japan would come to our aid. At least they would have before their former prime minister was assassinated. But not those other cowards. French, the French. You know what the thinnest book in the world is? French war heroes. You won't find any. But boy, we sure saved their ass, didn't we? If it wasn't for us, they'd be speaking German. Same for the English. You can have your limey accents, but they'd all be gone. You'd be goose-stepping and talking Nazi and heiling Hitler if it wasn't for us. But that's okay. We know how quickly you forgot that. I wouldn't lift a finger to help Great Britain or the French or the Belgians or the Germans, any of them. I'd be just like Trump if it was me. You pay your fair share. We're not helping you at all. At all. And by the way, when I say fair share, that means back pay for what you've escaped from paying. You owe all of this, or you get zero help from us in defending your lame asses. We don't care about you. And that's how you treat these people. All of those countries I just named aren't our allies. They're a bunch of liberals. That's all they are. England, give me a break. That's nothing but a Muslim-controlled outpost for Iran. That's all England is. I mean, that's the place that produced Harry, for God's sake. If you can produce Prince Harry, you are an effed-up country. Mike Johnson, the Speaker, how will we react to these Iran attacks?
We'll see what happens. Look, I do think that we showed resolve last night, thankfully. Many of us were concerned about that, to stand with our ally Israel. It's critically important to do that. We took down most of those drones and missiles, as you noted, and our other allies stepped up as well. What's important right now is that we stand with Israel. We should not be dictating to them what their policy is. We certainly shouldn't be doing what Chuck Schumer did, trying to suggest they should have new elections at this critical time. They're fighting for their very existence, and it's never been more important for us to be there with them, and we are resolved to do that. I hope that continues.
Well, it better continue. Because if it doesn't, the United States is alone in this world. Because Israel's all we have. Don't think Mexico or Canada. They're our enemies. And they better start being treated like they're our enemies. Until those governments are changed, until elections remove those people from office, they are to be considered an enemy of the state, of this state, United States. Every single one of our so-called allies is participating in election interference to keep Biden in. Every one of them. And if you don't believe me, all you have to do is open your eyes and check all the evidence that's sitting there right in front of you. I mean, the idiot in Mexico has said it publicly. So has the imbecile north of us in Canada. Those two geniuses. And I wish, I really wish Trump would just say at the southern border, here's what's going to happen. You start trying to cross that border illegally, we're just going to open fire. We're tired of this. We're tired of spending money. We're not even going to build a wall anymore. We catch it, we shoot you. It's that simple. You're entering our country illegally. Here's the consequence. Now, you want to come to our country like everybody's come legally over the past 250 years? Feel free. You come illegally and you die. It's that simple. And guess what would happen? It would stop. Immediately, it would stop. But we've got too many pussies running this country. That's the biggest problem. And they're all called politicians. Whether it's Republican or Democrat, it doesn't matter. They're all pussies. Jason Smith isn't, though, and neither was Trump. How different was this under President Trump, our dealings with the Iranians?
Under President Trump, he imposed the strict standards of the sanctions on the Iranians and allowed them where they didn't grow billions of dollars in profits in oil exports. But unfortunately, the Biden administration has reversed course on that, and they have been very lax on those sanctions, allowing the Iranians to grow in more power, more economic growth, and now they're attacking their neighbors.
It's unbelievable. And I'm telling you, your liberal friends, if you tried to talk to them today or over the weekend, and hopefully you didn't, because if you didn't, you had a happier weekend. It's like I was telling my brother, who thinks pretty much like I do. I said, you know, I wouldn't talk to our other brother again because it's so simple for me. Who needs that? Who needs a conversation with people who have no capacity to think? Who needs a conversation with someone who doesn't take the time to follow the evidence and read up on what's going on? All you do is get frustrated and get pissed. I don't want to get pissed. So I ignore them. I don't have anything to say to them. I've never been happier. If you just ignore them, you're happy. You can't let them get the better of you. You can tell them off. That feels kind of good if they ever come near you. Most of them don't come near me anymore. Or I haven't experienced them. I just got a t-shirt that says liberalism is a mental disease or mental disorder. I'm going to wear that into the next pub I go into and see what kind of reaction happens. It could be fun. I got to get healthy first, I guess. Be prepared for the fight, which won't last very long. I mean, they're liberals after all. How long could it take? What a pack of cowards. No wonder this country is an international laughingstock. Good grief. We have groups in this country who think it's cool to chant death to Israel, which, by the way, by extension, means death to America. That's our ally. So if you want to kill our ally, you want to kill us. It's pretty incredible. But it doesn't end. So did anyone predict that this would happen, that Iran would attack Israel? Everybody predicted it. None of this happened under 4 years of Donald Trump. Putin was kept in his place. China was kept in its place. Iran was really kept in its place. Two economies, all three economies, I should say, Russia, China, and Iran were just about finished. Trump had them begging. Now they're flourishing. Hell, China's flourishing so much they're buying up all of our land next to all of our important military bases. And what do we do about it? Nothing. Nothing. Kristi Noem does in South Dakota. You're not buying land up there anymore if you're Chinese. So, by the way, if you're trying to call in, I had the phone unattached. It is now attached. So there you have it. Some days I just don't get in the right. I got to check my list. If I check my list, then I do much better. But they're buying up all of our land, and they're laughing about it as they do it. They're setting up. Look, Iran didn't decide yesterday to attack or Saturday to attack. They've been building this up for a while, just like China's doing, just like Russia's doing. I wouldn't be surprised if Russia attacks us. Of course, they'll have the full backing of China. The full backing of China. That's a promise. Good morning, Joey. How are you?
Carpe diem on a Monday.
Carpe diem on a Monday, back at ya.
You know, Kevin, when you were mentioning about those comments from Kirby and how Biden's brilliance positioned those military pieces and anti-missile systems and all that, you know, it makes sense, Kevin, because I don't know if you heard, but there was a speech that Biden gave, you know, a few weeks ago, kind of in line with all his other speeches about the Greeks and the Puerto Ricans, but it went something like this. He said, you know, everybody, I grew up near a military base, so I kind of was part of the military community. and when I was a kid, they used to call me G.I. Joey because I was so connected to the military.
He grew up near everything.
Right.
I'm surprised he hasn't said he grew up near Cape Canaveral, so that makes him an astronaut.
He could, you know what? He probably did.
That'll be next.
We probably missed that one. Or that's next. But yeah, G.I. Joey, he shot those missiles down.
Yeah, he positioned the forces. Kirby actually thinks of it. And Shannon Bream just sits there and nods. I mean, she should have simply said, what exactly did Biden do to position the forces correctly? Please tell us. We'd love to know how our commander-in-chief outsmarted the Iranians.
Oh, you know, I would love to sit our president down and play a game of Risk or Axis and Allies and to see how that goes.
Just war. Just like the old board game war.
Right. The card game.
he'd surrender so fast it wouldn't even be funny.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, we're basically surrendering right now.
Essentially, yes. Essentially, that's what we're doing. It's insane, but I just when you said that, I was like, well, he must be G.I. Joey too. He grew up with all the soldiers.
Kirby's so full of shit. God, I mean, every time that I don't even know what he is, but every time he opens his mouth, that flaming coward, it's just sickening. He's like a little lizard, just a little weaselly lizard.
Can you imagine we used to have, I mean, you mentioned the name. We used to have people in the military in this country like Patton and Douglas MacArthur and Eisenhower, who then became a great president. And now we get this guy?
Yeah. Well, none of those guys could have organized our forces like he did. He positioned them, not just organized them, he positioned them. That is a military strategist if ever there was one. D-Day was nothing compared to the way Biden orchestrated this defense. We should ask the Israeli people, do you feel good that Biden's in charge of positioning the forces?
Right. Like he's got a big touchscreen computer screen in front of him, and he's pressing, you know, it's like the old you've probably seen the old movie Dr. Strangelove where George C. Scott walks in and the Russians are in there, and he's like, don't let them see the big board. and they got all the tanks moving around on the big map. That's what Biden was doing.
Biden probably has a board like the old electric football game that we used to get for Christmas.
Oh, yeah, you just turn it on and they bounce around.
And they just bounce around and bump into each other.
Oh, man. And Kevin, changing topics real quick, and then I'm going to go. I know you're probably going to be covering this. You don't have to necessarily jump on this right now, but I am mystified by this trial that they're starting for Mr. Trump today. I even read the article from the New York Times, who, you know, we know where they lie with their political leanings. Even the New York Times couldn't explain why exactly Mr. Trump is on trial here. I mean, if he paid hush money, which allegedly, you know, apparently he did, but that doesn't necessarily mean the affair really happened. It's not illegal to pay hush money. This Alvin Bragg is trying to draw some wild, you know, crazy line between paying the money and Cohen not paying taxes and saying that the money, I guess, was supposed to be campaign money, so that makes it illegal and that makes it an election violation, and then it's not a misdemeanor and it's a criminal offense. It's the most insane thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, and it's going nowhere, and we're going to explain it all to you here as the show goes on. And the problem is they're going to take forever with jury selection, so don't get excited that today the trial is starting, because it's not.
Oh, yeah, nothing will happen today.
No, this is going to be drawn out so long, and they're going to try to time it. And this judge, by the way, his daughter is benefiting financially off this trial.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about that.
And he doesn't recuse himself. I mean, these judges are beyond activist judges. They're just criminals.
The criminals aren't in jails. They're on the bench.
Yeah, they're wearing black robes. I mean, it's just incredible.
Oh, man. Well, Kevin, have a great day. Glad you're on this morning, and keep up the good work.
Thanks, Joey. Appreciate the call. Yeah, it's just it gets more bizarrely corrupt every day. And you just start laughing at it, except for it's deadly serious. You know, that's the problem. And it's just laughable. I mean, his daughter, her name is, what is her name? The judge is Juan Merchan, or Merchan, whichever way you want to pronounce it. And the Trump party has said he needs to step aside and recuse himself because there's tremendously strong conflict of interest. His daughter's a political consultant who's worked with the Democratic candidates. Her company, Authentic Campaigns, has used social media to deride Trump and tout its connections to Biden. And this guy's presiding over the case. It's unbelievable. This guy is so corrupt, this judge. He is so corrupt. I mean, and none of them ever belong anywhere near the bench. They are so corrupt. I mean, it used to be you knew there were corrupt judges. You just didn't know which ones because they really didn't come right out. They come right out and tell you now, hey, I'm a corrupt bastard and there's nothing you can do about it. And that's the pathetic part. No group in this country, whether it's the FBI, the CIA, the Department of Justice, is more arrogant than the judges. You will not find people in any form, walk of life that are more arrogant than these judges, especially the corrupt ones. The corrupt ones are the worst because they'll put you in jail. Just take a look at the January 6th people who did nothing. It's hard to associate with you. Why do you think I don't practice law full time? I got so sick of the corruption in law, it's not even funny. It's one of the most sickening professions there is on earth. You get one corrupt person right after another. It's sickening. And I couldn't stand lawyers or judges. I think there are two judges I know in my life that I enjoy, that I like. The rest of them make me want to vomit. Well, there was a third one, but he passed away. If he wasn't just killed, I'm surprised. It wouldn't be a surprise to me if somebody just didn't kill him. That's what they do with the good ones, with the honest ones. It makes you sick. And that's what it is. John Kennedy, the senator from Louisiana, had a suggestion for where Biden could go shopping.
With respect, go to Amazon and buy a spine online. Peace through weakness never works, not with these hard men. Israel not at war with Hamas or Hezbollah or Yemen. Those are all surrogates for Iran. Israel is at war with Iran. Iran hates Americans. Iran hates Jews. Iran wants to kill Americans and Jews. If we turn the other cheek to them, we're going to get it in the neck.
Bingo. But we've already turned the other cheek. We've already told them, here, what can we give you? We're going to help you destroy us. I know that when Trump was president, you had no chance of destroying us. You had no chance of destroying Israel. And that damn Trump was making deals with different Middle Eastern countries and Israel, and they were already talking. They were in peace talks. They had peace treaties. They had business and commerce taking place between the two. That bastard Trump. But here we are, Iran. We're back in, and we're going to help you get rid of those agreements, and we're going to help you destroy us and Israel. How about that for a strategy? And that's what Biden's strategy is. If you can call that strategy. If you want to know what Biden's doing with all of this, here he was last week when the Japan prime minister was in town.
Third, next question. Who do I call on next? Hang on a second. I got my list here. Hang on. I apologize. Aurelia of AFP. And it's tied to the hostages. There are a number of hostages that are being held by Hamas. And just yesterday, we're meeting with the vice president, our national security advisor before that. And they're American hostages as well. And they know how committed we are, the whole team, to getting their loved ones home. We're not going to stop until we do. The new proposal on the table, Bill Burns led the effort for us. We're grateful for his work. There's a now up to Hamas. They need to move on the proposal that's been made. And as I said, we'll get these hostages home where they belong, but also bring back a 6-week ceasefire that we need now. And the fact is that we're getting in somewhere in the last 3 days over 100 trucks. It's not enough. Elect me. I'm in the 20th century, 21st century.
Here's a guy that doesn't even know what century he's in, but he wants you to elect him. When somebody asked him the other day, why won't you debate President Trump? He wants to debate you any place, he said. Biden said, I'd want to debate me if I was him too. Who says that? Only this ass. And he is an ass. If you listened to that just now, didn't you grow in confidence with every word, every stirring patriotic word? Didn't it sound like George Patton addressing his troops? Did to me. I mean, what a leader he is. He has no idea where he is. He has no idea who he's calling on. He has a list, and he can't even follow that. He has no idea what century he's in. I don't know what he's talking about, the hostages. God only knows. But then he wants the ceasefire, which we always knew he was bidding for. I hope Benjamin Netanyahu has told him to go F himself in every language possible. Reza, and I hope I get his name right, Pahlavi, Reza Pahlavi is an exiled Iranian crown prince. He understands this isn't a war between the Israeli people and the Iranian people, but the people that need to go are the ones that Biden is propping up.
From Tehran to Tel Aviv, from Hamadan to Haifa, Iranians and Israelis know that this is not the Iranian people's war. This is Ali Khamenei, the dictator of this brutal regime's war. As we speak, today there were demonstrations in Paris, in London, in Berlin. Iranians, together with the Israelis and Jews, hand in hand together, supporting each other, and demonstrating to the whole world that we as a nation and Israel as a nation have our destiny intertwined. We cannot hope for any chance for peace and stability in the region until this regime is finally gone. I think it's important for the world to realize that the only obstacle to peace and stability and a better future lies on putting an end to this regime. It is time for the world to finally decide to endorse and back the Iranian people to topple this regime and put an end to all this madness.
And while he is correct, it will never happen with the Chinese. It will never happen with Biden. It will certainly never happen with Putin. It has to be us that leads the way with the Israelis. the Israelis have one ally, us. If we desert them, as Biden has done repeatedly, they have no chance. So isn't it time, as that exiled crown prince of Iran said, to take this regime out? Yes, it is. Well, we'll start World War III. No, we won't. Not if Trump's in. They wouldn't dare. Wouldn't dare. But what Trump will do is strangle that Iranian regime out of existence. That's what he'll do. Because he's so much smarter than they are. He's so much smarter than everybody else in Washington. Do you realize, folks, that we elect the dumbest of the population into public office in this country? The dumbest. Do you know why they run for office? Because they're too incompetent to succeed in any other form of life. So they run for public office knowing that you and I will pay for them. And they'll be able to shake down lobbyists and other companies to make themselves all millionaires. They know the plan. They've seen it laid out by previous politicians. The job of a politician is not to be competent. It's to just keep getting reelected. These are not smart people. Political people are not smart. They're failures. They have failed at everything they've ever tried. There are a few exceptions. I never will say 100% of anything is good or bad. There are some exceptions, but they're so few they cure cancer. That's how rare they are. Robert Kennedy Jr. over the weekend was being interviewed and made it clear that he thought Biden was a bigger threat to democracy than Trump. Even the liberal pundits out there are saying Biden needs to stop with the threat to democracy crap that he says about Trump. Here's RFK Jr.'s take on who the threat to democracy really is.
I can make the argument that President Biden is a much worse threat to democracy. And the reason for that is President Biden is the first candidate in history, the first president in history that has used the federal agencies to censor political speech, so to censor his opponents.
That's what he's done. So who's the threat to democracy? Here's one of the Kennedys telling you that it's Biden. It's amazing, isn't it? And that that money that he stole from us for the IRS, thanks to the Democrats in Congress voting it in and the traitors in the Republican Party who voted it in, that now we have 85 or whatever, 88,000 more IRS agents. Remember, Biden said they weren't coming after you or me. Well, yes, they are. Jason Smith, the House Ways and Means Chairman from Missouri, the congressman. Why are they targeting lower-income families?
It all started with the Inflation Reduction Act, where the Biden administration asked for an additional $80 billion to supercharge the IRS to hire 87,000 new agents. And guess what? Based on scorekeepers in Congress, it is projected that 87,000 new auditors, 70% of those audits will be on people making less than $75,000 a year. But guess what? The Biden administration, they didn't think $80 billion was enough, so they asked for an additional $43 billion just in their budget this year. And to try to comprehend how big of dollars those are, the IRS just operating a yearly budget is less than $15 billion a year.
So Biden wants an additional $123 billion plus for the IRS, an operation that moves out on $15 billion budget a year. That's almost 10 times what it gets. And who are they attacking? You heard it right there. 70% of the audits are coming against people, families who make less than $73,000 a year. Over 60% of the audits are coming against families that make less than $200,000 a year. So who's getting audited? Who's that IRS actually targeting? Us. If they did a breakdown even further on that, of that 70% of the audits that are people making $73,000 or less, my guess is 100% of those people would be Republicans or conservatives or Trump supporters. 100%. You can bank on that. These people got their marching orders from Biden, and the marching orders are get conservatives. Get them. Throw them in jail if you have to. Here, by the way, we're giving you all an AR-15. Now, when people say, what does the normal American need an AR-15 for? My question is, what does an IRS agent need one for? Why are IRS agents armed? To my knowledge, they never have been in the past. Here's the answer to the first question. The ordinary citizen is armed because we have to be, thanks to you. Anyone who's not armed against this corrupt government is crazy. Crazy. In fact, you shouldn't have a gun because you're too crazy. This is the most corrupt government on the face of the earth. And I always say that with the caveat that the dictatorships admit they're dictatorships. This corrupt group of people acts as though there's some sort of benevolent, charitable group that they care about the American working man. They do not. They care so little about you, in fact, it's almost impossible to care any less. It's incredible. Just incredible. And this media in this country now follows the Trump motorcade to a courthouse as if it were the O.J. Simpson chase. And there's about seven or eight different, maybe even more, of these black SUV limos, probably more, in order to disguise which one President Trump is in. But what does Fox News do? They zero in on one that they think the president's in. In other words, let's tip off those who might want to assassinate President Trump. Fox is just no better than any of them. The next time you think you're watching Fox and you're getting a reality check, you're dead wrong. Fox is so bad. But why would you cover a trip to the courthouse? By the way, I mentioned RFK Jr., who believes that Biden is a bigger threat to democracy than anybody, and he is, of course. But Robert F. Kennedy Jr. all of a sudden gets real wishy-washy when he starts talking about January 6th.
Again, I left people with the impression that I did not share, I think, what is the general consensus about January 6th, that it was a traumatic day in our nation's history, that there were police who were beaten.
Lie.
Who were assaulted, that there were congressional members who were threatened.
Lie.
That there were people who were intending to obstruct the peaceful transfer of power in this country, and that's not okay.
Lie.
And it's not okay.
Do
even
you
if
believe
you believe
it was an insurrection?
Was stolen. I think it was a protest that turned into a riot. I think there were people who wanted an insurrection.
But I
don't know what your definition of an insurrection is. If your definition is armed men who are intending to take over the United States government, it wasn't that. I think there were people there who wanted to obstruct the peaceful transfer of power from one administration to the other.
Boy, talk about a coward. It depends on what your definition of insurrection is. There's only one definition. The act or an instance of revolting, especially violently, against civil or political authority or against an established government. Did you see any of that? I didn't. There were people that broke windows. Those people should have paid a fine for a misdemeanor and restitution for the window repair. What are we going to do about police, Robert Kennedy, who murdered American citizens? You said that you thought there were people that were assaulting police? I didn't see that. I saw police escorting people around the Capitol. I saw one cowardly black police officer murder a white veteran who was unarmed and, in fact, surrounded by other police officers. She was talking to them. She was murdered by a black police officer from the Washington Capitol Police Department. And what'd you do about that, Robert Kennedy? You haven't even opened your mouth about that. I haven't heard one word out of it. Not a word. Huh. It's interesting. That was about as wishy-washy of an answer as you could ever give on anything. No one was trying to overthrow anything. People were protesting. When the police invited them into the Capitol, they went in. And once in there, no one did anything violently. What was done violently by the people inside the Capitol? Some people outside the Capitol broke windows to try to get in. They should have been fined, charged with misdemeanors, and paid their fine and restitution. We've always said that. But simply because people went on the Capitol grounds, what grounds do you have to charge them on anything? I've walked right up to the Capitol when I was visiting Washington, D.C., and my son and I walked right up inside the Capitol. What's wrong with that? How do you have video of police officers escorting people in, opening the door for people, and then try to tell me that people were trying to overturn an election? What, were five people breaking windows? How many broke windows? What acts of violence took place inside the Capitol, other than by a police officer murderer, who, of course, was let go, never charged? And the media is petrified of this Trump trial in New York. They're petrified that he's going to win. They're petrified. Oh, now they're petrified that a juror, he only needs one that will hang up the whole jury.
Yeah, jury selection is kind of going to be the whole ball game because all Trump needs is one. All Trump needs is one cultist, one dyed-in-the-wool Trump supporter to sneak into that jury, and he can hang the whole thing. He or she can hang the whole thing.
If it were Donald Johnson we were talking about, not Donald Trump, he would not be on his social media site posting. He would be in contempt in a jail cell.
Trump is going to use this courtroom and other courtrooms to come as really the centerpiece of his campaign.
God, they're stupid, aren't they? I don't know what they are. Are they more cowardly or are they just more stupid? I think the cowardly thing comes into play all the time. How about the one black woman? If it was Donald Johnson, he would be in his jail cell rather than talking on social media. So in other words, the liberals agree that, hey, we should be silencing Trump. If he even speaks, he should go to jail. This is how these people think, and they openly say it and admit it. If Donald Trump even speaks, and the judge has issued a gag order, which is under review by the appellate court right now, the gag order for what, you criminal merchant? The guy that belongs in jail is this judge. He's like a racketeering artist. He's making a fortune off this trial through his daughter. And who knows how many other ways that he's profiting off of it. I mean, these judges are disgusting. They really do make you want to vomit. A lawyer told me one time, a long time ago, something I've never forgotten and is so true today. Truer today than it was when he told me. He said, if you're looking for justice, don't ever come near a courtroom. And he's right. You will never find justice in a courtroom. You'll find a lot of cowards and a lot of corruption, but you'll never find justice. That's the country we live in. So the next time you walk into that voting booth and you see all these judges up for re-election, and you check the mark next to their name because you might either recognize their name or because they've been judges for a while, you're the problem. You keep putting the bastards back in. Get rid of them. They're no different than political hacks. Soon as you see a judge's name running for re-election, vote for the other person. Unless you love the system the way it is. Because that person that you're voting for re-election as a judge is responsible for the system being the way it is. So get rid of him or her and give somebody else a chance. I don't care who it is. If it's Charles frickin' Manson, I'd vote for him over the judges that are in there now. How could Charles Manson be a more corrupt judge than the judges that are in there right now? How? What more could he do to destroy the once credible judiciary system in this country that no longer has a shred of credibility? Not a shred. We've got arguments going on in the public forum among liberals, among themselves, whether Justice Sonia Sotomayor should step aside now because she's 69 years old and God forbid she die when Donald Trump's in office. The argument should be Sotomayor should step aside because she's never cast a vote other than for a liberal cause in her entire lifetime. That's why she should step aside. And if you catch Republicans doing the same thing, get rid of them. You vote on the merits of the case according to the Constitution. That's what you're charged with, you criminal bastards. It's sickening. These people are sickening. They've ruined the profession of law. Just ruined it. Mark Smith is a constitutional attorney. How important is jury selection in this New York case for Trump?
Well, you know, the phrase jury selection is really not accurate if you're a professional trial lawyer. What you're really trying to do is engage in jury deselection. What you want to do if you're President Trump's lawyers is get anybody off that jury that could be a diehard anti-Trumper that's not only going to be anti-Trump, but is going to be the kind of person and personality forceful enough to persuade others to vote against Trump, frankly, for the good of the country. So what I would be looking to do is make sure anyone that has really strong, rabid anti-Trump views, make sure those individuals are gotten off that jury by one version or another of a strike. That's what I would be focused on. Really, the process of jury deselection is much more important for President Trump than the notion of jury selection.
This system is so corrupt that the star witness for the state in this case against Donald Trump is Michael Cohen. Now, Michael Cohen at one time was one of Trump's lawyers, many lawyers. It doesn't mean he's important. He was just one of many. And the allegations that Cohen is going to make is that Donald Trump paid hush money to Stormy Daniels. Unfortunately for Michael Cohen, Donald Trump dropped a major bombshell yesterday on his Truth Social account. And this was the letter from Stormy Daniels that we all remember from, I believe it was 2018, yeah, January of 2018. And it said this, and even Michael Avenatti, who is in jail right now, that corrupt bastard, he's in jail after representing her at that time. Even he says this is a joke of a trial and that Trump is being wrongfully sought out and wrongfully gagged. But here's what she said in her, it says, official statement of Stormy Daniels, dated January 30th, 2018. Over the past few weeks, I have been asked countless times to comment on reports of an alleged sexual relationship I had with Donald Trump many, many, many years ago. The fact of the matter is that each party to this alleged affair denied its existence in 2006, 2011, 2016, 2017, and now again in 2018. I am not denying this affair because I was paid, quote, hush money, unquote, as has been reported in overseas-owned tabloids. I am denying this affair because it never happened. I will have no further comment on this matter. Please feel free to check me out on Instagram at her Instagram site. Thank you, signed Stormy Daniels. And yet we're having a trial? Over hush money paid that she said she never got? Now, there are some reports, and one of them comes from Cohen's own lawyer, who is going to testify, by the way, to what a serial perjurer, as he calls him, that Michael Cohen is. And the testimony is, some of it's going to say that Michael Cohen had a sexual relationship with her, and Michael Cohen took money from an account to pay her off and then blamed it on Trump. That's not Trump saying that. Trump saying he has no idea because he didn't do it. But when you hear Michael Cohen's lawyer testify against Michael Cohen, I think we're going to all realize just how absurd this is. But let me give you a preview. Ladies and gentlemen, I present star witness Michael Cohen from different points over the last 6 years talking about Donald Trump. See if you can guess which time he was working for President Trump, which time he was trying for Trump to pardon him.
I will be in D.C. and in New York, anywhere Mr. Trump deems necessary. I'll be there. I did not want to go to the White House. I was offered jobs. Not only is Donald Trump not a racist, he believes that all people are part of one race, the human race. I know what Mr. Trump is. He is a racist. He is a con man. And he is a cheat. The words the media should be using to describe Mr. Trump are generous, compassionate, principled, empathetic, kind, humble, honest, and genuine. He is capable of behaving kindly, but he is not kind. He is capable of committing acts of generosity, but he is not generous. He is capable of being loyal, but he is fundamentally disloyal.
That's the idiot they're going to trot out as their star witness. Any first-year law clerk could destroy him on cross-examination simply with that tape. I'd just play that. I'd say, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I have no further questions of this liar, of this serial liar that sits before you. You now have seen video of his lies. You don't need to see any more. I don't want to waste the court's time. That's all you'd have to do. He's finished. And then his own lawyer's going to come in and support that video and support his lie, how many lies he told. That's why he's no longer his lawyer, because he wouldn't represent a liar. Greg Jarrett, what did Cohen do recently in court?
But get this, recently in court, he recanted what he stated in his sworn plea deal, which means he either again committed perjury in the plea itself or perjury in his recent court testimony, and that prompted the judge to call Michael Cohen a serial perjurer. I can't imagine any objective juror believing anything he has to say. Any half-decent defense attorney will utterly destroy Cohen on cross-examination and expose his litany of lies.
I mean, this guy's finished. The jury selection is unfortunately going to take forever. And I agree with Mark Smith, the constitutional attorney, who said the most important thing for President Trump is to not get anti-Trumpers on there who are going to persuade other jurors against him that somehow it's for the public good that Donald Trump doesn't get elected president. That's what you're going to hear from these clowns in New York. But when Michael Cohen testifies, that is going to be must-see TV. Even more so when Mr. Costello, his former lawyer, testifies. You can't miss that. I'll give you updates as to when they're going to testify because you do not want to miss it. I don't care if you have to call in sick at work. This will be must-see TV. Now, the O.J. Simpson case, which the car chase, the Bronco chase, was must-see TV, just won't go away because all of the black activists get on CNN and MSNBC and run their big mouth, their big racist mouths. People like Stephanie Elin of CNN, she essentially said she was glad that OJ got away with double murder.
So many things happened. We saw policing changing here in the city. And it's also worth noting, because of that unrest, that racial unrest in the 90s, that is why so many people who may not have been invested in OJ Simpson were just happy to see that someone who was rich and famous and black could get away with what other people did in the system as well, too.
So black people were glad to see a black rich guy get away with a double murder just because the victims were white. These people don't even see themselves as the racist that they are. That's how blind they are. Could you imagine if I said, man, I was sure glad to see that that Charles Manson get away with killing black people. I mean, you can't even begin to wrap your head around the stupidity of these people and the utter racism of them. But if they couldn't race bait, they wouldn't be able to say anything. They have nothing else to offer. These are not smart people. Neither is Ashley Allison, who's a former White House aide under Obama on race back then with OJ. And now, of course, it's just as bad.
Also, just how black Americans feel about policing. It's not like O.J. Simpson was the leader of the civil rights movement of his era. You know, he wasn't a social justice leader, but he represented something for the black community in that moment, in that trial, particularly because there were two white people who had been killed. And the history around how black people have been persecuted during slavery, there were just so many layers. And I guess I would just close with this, is that there was racial tension then, there is racial tension now. It might not be the backdrop of the Trump campaign, but until this country is ready to actually have an honest conversation about the racial dynamics from our origin story till today, we will always have moments like O.J. Simpson that manifest, and our country will always be divided if we don't actually deal with the issue of race.
No, it won't. Because almost everybody in this country is not divided on race. Only liberals. Only people like her. Ashley Allison, black female. Stephanie Elin, black female. You're the only people. And then, of course, you have the white ass kissers who think if they continue to say there's racism in this country, that black people might think we're not the ones who caused it. Maybe when they give out reparations, we won't have to pay if we kiss up enough. Those are the cowardly white people who jump on the bandwagon. There is no race issue in this problem in this country. There's no race problem in this country. She wants to have an honest conversation about racial origins in this country. We've already had that conversation. You know what it's called? It's called history class. Maybe you should have gone. Maybe you should have attended your classroom lectures when you were in school, if you were in school. Skipping history class wasn't a good idea, was it, Ashley Allison? Because that's when the conversations were held, when you were being taught the history of our country. And she acts as though people don't know that there was slavery in this country at one point. What conversation do I need to have about slavery? You mean all the slaves that there are today? That conversation? Okay, we can have it. There are none. There, conversation over. What's your next question? Why was there slavery back in the 1700s? Because that's the way this country was then. Next question. You are nothing but a race baiter. That's all both of those women are. Two black women. One served on Obama's administration. I don't even know what the other one is. Something with CNN. But both racists. Both black female racists who want to stir the racial pot. But that's what CNN does. And that's all they do. Then they get elected. Black females like Jasmine Crockett gets elected. And she thinks it's a good idea. Well, let's listen to her.
One of the things that they propose is black folk not have to pay taxes for a certain amount of time, because then again, that puts money back in your pocket. But at the same time, it may not be as objectionable to some people about actually giving out dollars. But obviously, then you start dealing with the different tax brackets and things like that. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, we argue the reparations make sense, because so many black folk, not only do you owe for the labor that was stolen and killed and all the other things, right? But the fact is, like, we end up being so far behind, right? And so it's like, how do you bring forth people? Exactly. And so it's like, if you do the no tax thing for people that are already, say, struggling and aren't really paying taxes in the first place, it doesn't really...
That woman's so stupid, it's hard to try to even explain what she was talking about. But when she says, all the labor that was stolen and killed. Huh? What are you talking about? Are you telling me that I, here in 2024, because I'm white, should pay some of my tax money to you because you're black, because 250 or 300 years ago, somebody had a slave and they didn't get paid a fair wage or no wage at all? Is that what you're telling me? Because if you are, and I think you are either the dumbest person on the face of God's earth, or you think I am, but it's one of the two. There is no door number three. But I'm going to guess this. Of those two choices, you're the dumbest person on the face of the planet. Because you couldn't possibly think I am as dumb as you are. No one is. Hollywood has a good idea. Black people shouldn't have to pay taxes. The last time Hollywood had a good idea was when they made It's a Wonderful Life. That was a long time ago. 1947, I believe. They also made Miracle on 34th Street in the same year, back when they actually knew how to make movies. And they fought in wars. They went over and defended our country. Actors, actresses helped out back home like most of the women did then when women weren't soldiers. Everybody took part in the war effort. Any advice you get from Hollywood today tells me how dumb you are that you would even listen, much less consider it. Let's let black people not pay taxes. But we're so far behind, she says. Who's so far behind? You? Jasmine Crockett? When were you a slave? When were you underpaid? I think I'm underpaid every day. I would venture a guess that most Americans in this country think they're underpaid. But I know who's overpaid. You are. That's what I said when a few minutes ago. I said, when you elect these people and you vote them back in, you are voting in some of the dumbest people this country has to put forward. They're so dumb they can't even speak properly. And that doesn't mean because she's black. That means she's a politician. White, black, Indian, Arab, Asian, I don't care what they are. These are the dumbest people America has to offer. And man, are they corrupt. So every vote you give an incumbent, you're part of the problem. I don't care who the incumbent is. Don't tell me your guy's great because he or she is not. I hear that all the time. Well, Hawley seems to be really good. Hawley will never get my vote. Why? He's an incumbent. That's why. 6 years is long enough to get something done. Do I think he does a good job in hearings? Yeah, but so do about 50 other ones. And what comes of those hearings? Let me tell you what comes of those hearings. Nothing. Some great TV moments. That's it. Some clips for people like me to play for you. Nothing else. You want to hear about the bigot Rashida Tlaib walking down the halls of Congress while Hillary Vaughn of Fox is chasing after to ask her if she agrees with the chants, death to Israel?
At a rally in your district, people were chanting death to America. Do you condemn?
Talk to Fox News.
But do you condemn chants of death to America?
I don't talk to people that use racist tropes.
Why can't you just say whether or not you condemn people chanting death to America? Why are you afraid to talk to Fox?
Fox News is not, listen, using racist tropes towards my community is what Fox News is about, and I don't talk to Fox News.
Is death to America racist? Is chanting death to America racist?
I'm talking about your guys' racist tropes. You know, you guys know exactly what you do. And I know you're Islamophobic, but you guys got to go deal with it on your own self. You're not going to use me.
I said death to Israel, it's death to America. But when I said earlier, death to Israel and death to America, it's the same thing. We're allies. When you say one, you mean the other, because we're allies. We're linked. We're locked arm in arm. Or we should be. I don't talk to Fox News. You use racist tropes. Most people don't even know what she's talking about. I don't know what a racist trope is. I'm having to look it up right now. It's an ethnic stereotype or racial stereotype involving part of a system of beliefs about typical characteristics of members of a given ethnic group, their status, societal and cultural norms. That's all bullshit. All that stuff's just word salad. It means nothing. And try to incorporate that into what she said. How does Fox use any of that against her community? Now, I hate getting in a position to defend Fox. Why aren't these black women like Ashley Allison and Stephanie Elon and Jasmine Crockett concerned about real racism that actually does go on in other countries? Since you're an American congresswoman, why aren't you fighting that? Shouldn't ask that question. Hey, Whoopi, let's ask Whoopi. Isn't it time to ask Whoopi? Ask Whoopi. Right here on a Monday morning, what the Republicans want to do in their own minds.
In their minds, they want to bring slavery back. They're okay with it. Because
we're okay with it. It's cool.
Things change. You know, one of the good things about the Supreme Court is you can fight to make sure you make stuff better. You don't generally fight to make stuff worse. Or to roll back. And to me, if you're okay rolling that back, when things were not even a state, when we had no say. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So how's that going to roll? How's that going to roll? What's the next thing? Because, you know, on this, with all of this comes birth control.
Right.
With all of this everything that you need as a woman to have had put in place to make sure that we were doing better than we were
and
before.
Well, hold on, because
can somebody tell me what that woman said, or that guy, whatever it is? The Supreme Court can be good, but not to roll back. The Supreme Court overturns bad law all the time. All the time. They also affirm good law, as they see it. What is she talking about? Back when it was not even a state. When we had no say. Who's we, black people? What are you talking about again? Are you talking about slavery again? Republicans in their own minds, they want to bring back slavery. Let me tell you something, Whoopi. If tomorrow somebody made slavery legal, the last slave I would ever hire would be you. I wouldn't want you near my plantation, okay? I don't want you near me, period. You are one of the most despicably stupid people on earth. I don't want to catch whatever it is you have. You'd be last in line, so you need not worry about any slavery. If Republicans want to bring back slavery, if they brought it back tomorrow, no one would pick you. So you don't have to worry about ever being a slave. No one wants anything to do with people like you. You're a sick dog. Republicans want to bring back slavery. Can these people talk without mentioning two topics, race or Donald Trump? If you put a gag order on liberals, you can't mention race and you can't mention Donald Trump. What are you going to talk about? They have nothing. They're too damn dumb to talk about something important. So they'll talk about how they hate Trump and how you're a racist. For that matter, the whole country's a racist except them. When the true racists are them. Their leader is a racist. They're led by a guy who believes in the Ku Klux Klan, Joe Biden. Not only believes in it, but eulogized as his best friend in life, the Grand Cyclops of the Ku Klux Klan. Did any Republicans do that, Whoopi? You jackass. And then you've got Mother Jefferson, who sometimes goes as Maxine Waters. Do you remember when she encouraged violence against anyone in the Trump cabinet?
If you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome.
Not little old Maxine, Mother Jefferson. And if you want to know why I'm referring to her as Mother Jefferson, just Google Mother Jefferson and then Google Maxine Waters, and you'll find that it's the same person from the Jeffersons. Maxine was now whining about being confronted in a restaurant. Wait a minute. I just heard her say, if you see anyone from the Trump cabinet in a restaurant, get up in their face. And now she says someone confronted her in a restaurant and she's whining about it.
As a member of Congress with people, you know, who evidently had a racist attitude and recently one even confronted me in a restaurant. And they don't say racist things, but right. What they say is they don't like something I said. They don't like a position that I took. But you know that, you know, if you were not black, you would not be approached that way.
Right. They probably would not. Right. They would think twice about doing it. They think that they can get away with doing it with you and that you're black.
The racist insanity of these people is just frightening. So here's Maxine Waters, lovely Mother Jefferson's view of the world. If you don't like something she says, one of her policy ideas, which, by the way, her only policy idea that I've ever heard is get up in the face of everybody in the Trump cabinet, yell and scream at them in a restaurant. But if you go up to her in a restaurant and you say, I disagree with your position on taxes and on reparations and on whatever, on Ukraine, you're only doing that because you're a racist. If she wasn't black, you wouldn't disagree with her. Well, that's funny. Because I don't think I've said anything worse about any black person than I've said about Pelosi or Biden. And they're both white. So that argument from you and your black co-host there, whoever she was, that they wouldn't dare, they'd think twice before saying it if you weren't black. Nobody would. Nobody's afraid of you because you're some aging 9,000-year-old black woman who doesn't know what the hell she's talking about. Do you think anybody's afraid of you? Or afraid of Pelosi? I'd give it a second thought if it was Pelosi. Right, sure I would. I might laugh a little harder because when I heard Pelosi's response, I'd be seeing her, you know, drooling all over herself. But we come up to her and we disagree with her policy. Now, we don't say anything racist, but we really mean it. We really mean that we're a racist. How about that one? Now, in her mind, you don't even say anything racist, but you're just a racist because you disagree with her. That's how arrogant these people are. It's to the point where if you disagree with them, you're an automatic racist if they happen to be black. So if you're black, everyone bows down to you and agrees with you, or they're a racist. There is no in-between, not in Maxine Waters' mind, or whoever that black host of that whatever was. Imagine the insanity of the world they live in. Imagine the insanity of the world Sandy Cortez lives in. Kevin O'Leary, the businessman on Shark Tank, who I would listen to on business advice, has some advice for Sandy Cortez and the utterly filthy district that she represents.
What a horrific manager she is. Her jurisdiction looks like a third world country. And yet she's great at social media and making outrageous statements and getting $5 at a time on, you know, every way she can on social. Good for her. But wow, look what she did when Amazon came knocking for 10,000
jobs. Yeah, that really blew my mind. How does that you survive?
So why would you want to reward that? Why wouldn't you say, excuse me, could I get better management, please? I live here. I pay taxes here, and I'd like a job. And I don't think you're doing a great job for me as a manager. How about I hire somebody else? That's what I would encourage. Now, there are countries that have weak leaders. There are states that have bad governors. I think people, the great thing about democracy is say, we can do better. Right. Putting up my head, let's do better.
He later said he wouldn't hire her to manage a candy store. And the Amazon thing he was talking about is where she fought to reject Amazon putting a plant in her district that would have created 10,000 jobs. And her district looks like a third world country. She's pathetic. She's too busy getting behind the bar And who knows what she did when she was a bartender. God only knows. There's a lot of pictures that are very suggestive. I know that. Well, we had a class act yesterday win the Masters. Scottie Scheffler won his second Masters in 3 years. He's, I think, the only golfer ever to win twice in his first five tries. And after, pre-Masters on Thursday, before the tournament started, he was asked how he defined himself.
It's hard to describe the feeling, but I think that's what defines me the most is my faith. You know, I believe in one creator, and I've been called to come out here, do my best, compete, and glorify God, and that's pretty much it.
Carpe diem, Scottie Scheffler, who expanded on that after he won yesterday. He was talking about how he's very competitive, and he wishes sometimes he wasn't as competitive as he is, but he wants to win. And so he was with some of his buddies yesterday morning who reminded him what was really important.
Sitting around with my buddies this morning, I was a bit overwhelmed because I told him, I was like, I wish that I didn't want to win as badly as I did, or as badly as I do. I think it would make the mornings easier, but I love winning. I hate losing. I really do. And when you're here in the biggest moments, when I'm sitting there with the lead on Sunday, I really, really want to win badly. And my buddies told me this morning, you know, my victory was secure on the cross. And that's a pretty special feeling, to know that I'm secure for forever. And it doesn't matter, you know, whether or not I win this tournament or if I lose this tournament.
Carpe diem, Scottie Scheffler. And congratulations on a big win yesterday in the Masters. It was not a very enlightening Masters for me. It wasn't very fun to watch it. I thought it was dull. As I mentioned at the top of the show, CBS decided to censor any LIV players from the telecast. We don't have marquee names playing anymore. Here's how bad this tournament was. Max Homa went 33 holes without making a birdie and was only one shot behind. That's how bad the competition was in this tournament. We don't have any generational players in the game today. Maybe Scheffler will become one. He's the one who looks like he could become one. But we don't have any. We don't have any Tigers. We don't have any Mickelsons. We don't have any Jack Nicklauses. We don't have any Arnold Palmers or Gary players. We don't have any Tom Watsons. We don't have any of those guys. You got a bunch of clowns out there that look like they're playing at Forest Park. I mean, that was as bad a Masters as I've ever seen. If you were thinking Scottie Scheffler was somehow going to lose, you must have been wishing for a miracle. There is no way he was going to lose to that field. No way. Unless he has a bad day, I wouldn't be surprised if he wins every damn tournament. The only thing that would distract him is his wife's just about ready to have a baby. He had said before the tournament, if she goes into labor, that he was going to leave the Masters. It reminded me of what Phil Mickelson said years ago at the U.S. Open. His wife was about to give birth to their first child, and he said, if she goes into labor, I'm leaving. There was a plane, a private jet, ready to go to take him to the hospital in whatever city she was in. And that was the famous U.S. Open that Payne Stewart outlasted Phil Mickelson on the 18th hole, making a putt to win it. And then went up to Phil Mickelson and put his hands on his face, and he said, you're the luckiest guy in the world. You lost this tournament, but you're having a baby. What a cool guy Payne Stewart was. And he wasn't always that way. It was Payne Stewart's discovery of Jesus in his life that changed his life around. Tragically, we lost Payne Stewart in that bizarre, unbelievable plane crash where the plane lost oxygen while it was in flight and then flew halfway across the country until it ran out of fuel. And then crashed. So golf once again has a standard bearer that is not afraid to express his beliefs. Good for you, Scottie Scheffler. But I got news for you. You're not going to have much competition unless something changes. You know, these LIV players are not competitive ready when they come over for a major tournament, when they qualify for one. They're playing against weak competition. They're not playing week in and week out. They're not playing 4 days in tournaments. They're playing three. It's a clown show, and you guys are clowns for having taken the money and run, as if you weren't making enough money anyway. I could see if you were at the bottom of the rung on the US PGA Tour and you needed the money and you went and took it. I get it. But when you're at the top and you went, you're just greedy. And it's going to show up in your career. You won't win nearly as many major tournaments. You won't be remembered as one of the great players. And now you've got CBS censoring you. People aren't even going to know you're playing. But I can tell you this, I don't care how much money you have, you can afford a car, a truck, or an SUV at stl-cars.com. It's a website. You just go to it. This is how simple it is. You have two choices. Go to 6 or 7 dealerships on your Saturday, and these beautiful Saturdays now, instead of playing golf, go to 6 or 7 of these dealerships. Look at probably about 50 cars by the time you're finished, maybe, if you're lucky. Haggle with people all day trying to get a price. Maybe at the end of the day you get your deal done, maybe not. Or the second choice. And here is door number two. You go to stl-cars.com while you're on the golf course. You take a look at a couple of cars each time in between shots while you're driving to your ball. Or you go to a bar and watch the Masters and you scroll through stl-cars.com. Over 1,000 vehicles you'll see. Cars, SUVs, trucks. Pick the one you want. Call or text Don at 314-626-3251. 314-626-3251. Tell them what you want. Tell them what you want to pay for it. And presto, it's yours. He'll even deliver it for you. That's how you get it done. Now, if you can't find anything at all that you want, go ahead and text him anyway at the same number, 314-626-3251. And he's going to go ahead. You tell him what you want. Tell him what you want to pay for it. He'll go ahead and find it for you. He just did that for a listener to our sports show. He needed a certain kind of a truck, and it wasn't on the website. So Don went and found it. It took him about a month, but he found it. And that truck was being purchased for this guy's mom for her birthday, and they drove it right into her driveway for her birthday. I myself have purchased 4 different vehicles from Don through the years through this. My son just got an SUV. It came from Alabama. So stl-cars.com, call or text Don at 314-626-3251. We're coming back with more of the Monster Energy Drink, stl-cars.com, Kings Court, right after this.
Thank you.
We welcome you back in. This is the Monster Energy Drink, STL-Cars.com. As I mentioned, Monster Energy, the proud sponsor of Tiger Woods' bag now. Tiger has Monster Energy all over his bag, that claw, green claw M, that you find on the cans of Monster Energy Drink. It's on Tiger's bag now. It's too bad Tiger's not in his prime, where we could see it even more. But we saw it at the Masters, and he made the cut, the 25th consecutive cut that he made at the Masters. That is now the all-time record. Our phone lines are open for you toll-free, as they always are, 636-348-4460. President Trump made a small set of comments before he walked into the courtroom today. I can't wait till they get the jury seated so that we can hear the testimony of people like Michael Cohen, but more importantly, Michael Cohen's former attorney, Costello. This guy's going to destroy Michael Cohen. I wonder how the fight went in the Trump legal camp over who gets to cross-examine Michael Cohen. Because I got to believe everybody wants to. When you have so many lies that a guy has told so many different times, and they're all on record, and they're all on tape, it's got to be a lawyer's dream to cross-examine a liar like this guy. I mean, when you think about it, who couldn't do it? It would have to be so much fun. I mean, that's what it would be for me. It would be just a blast. And that's how it's going to go down. Michael Cohen is going to look like the biggest fool you've ever seen in your life. And he's going to single-handedly win this case for President Trump. Now, having said that, we have more than likely a corrupt jury. We do have a corrupt judge. We have a corrupt prosecutor. We really need secession in this country more than any time, more than anything. In my book, that's the only thing that will cure this country. Nothing else. We can talk and talk and talk till the cows come home. I mean, some of these black women on CNN want us to talk about the origins of racism. They're nuts. All these people want to do is talk and call you names, and nothing's ever going to be accomplished. The only thing that's going to be accomplished is through secession. We need to secede from this union, which is corrupt on its face, or we need to have a revolutionary war again, which we had once, remember? And it's the reason we formed and built the greatest country on earth. But that greatest country on earth no longer exists. It's been destroyed. And we're sitting here and allowing those that destroyed it to destroy it even more. And we're not doing anything about it. In 1776, they did something about it. George Washington and his revolutionaries did something about it. And if you dared disobey an order, or you were found colluding with the enemy, you were hung for treason. We have Republicans who collude with the enemy all day, every day. Make no mistake about this. You know, people say, well, you know, don't let politics separate your friendships or your family. Bullshit. These people need to be rooted out no matter who they are. They are your enemy. They are voting for people that are destroying your finances. They're destroying your life. They're destroying what you've believed in, what you've spent your life building. I don't care if it's your brother, your sister, your mother, your father. If they're voting for a Democrat, they're voting to destroy your life. Don't forget that. The stakes are very high. They don't like you. Okay? They don't care about you. Well, but it's my brother, my sister. No, no, it doesn't matter. They don't care about you. If you tell them inflation is killing you, yet they've got a real good job and they're making plenty of money, and even though they're losing money because of inflation, it doesn't hit them like it hits you. They won't care about you. Not one of them would do that. Not one would say, my God, I should vote for the candidate that will help my brother or my sister the most. They won't do it. They think you're nuts. They think you, because you support Donald Trump, that you need help. They have Trump derangement syndrome. So whoever it is, pray to God it's not your spouse. But if I was married to one, I'd divorce her in a heartbeat. But I'd never marry a liberal, so that would never happen. But I'm telling you, they are your enemies. They are your sworn enemies, and they're proving it every day. But don't forget what I'm telling you. If you remember nothing else, they hate you. They want to hurt you. They don't want to see you succeed. They don't care about your finances. They don't care about your children's lives. They don't care about what your kids are being taught in school. They don't care. Just don't forget that. If you don't forget that, you'll be okay. But the minute you forget it, that's when you fall into their trap. Because you want to be the nice person. And I say be as nice as you can be to like-minded people. You're not going to be nice to the Iranians, are you? Are the Iranians any worse enemy than liberals are here in this country? Hell no, they're not. In fact, you can make the argument that liberals are worse. They live among you and try to destroy you. And then lie to you. The Iranians try to destroy you, but they don't lie about it. We know who they are. I'm just hoping you don't forget who liberals are. Don't forget who they are. They'll disguise themselves as your cousin or your nephew or your niece or your brother or your sister or your mom or your dad, but that's a disguise. And now you're thinking, God, he's gone crazy. No, think about it. If you give it 10 minutes of your thought, you'll say he's right. They don't care about what your children are being taught. Because if they did, if they care that your children are being taught that there are more than two sexes, if they care that your children are being taught that your children should pay black people reparations, if they care about any of those things, that your children are being force-fed critical race theory, all this other crap, if they care that your children were being ruined, they wouldn't vote for these people. But they don't care. That'll wrap us up for this morning. Hope you enjoyed the show. We enjoyed it. We'll try to be back tomorrow, but if not, we'll certainly be here Wednesday. Right here in the Monster Energy Drink, STL-Cars.com, Kings Court, on KevinSlaytonShow.com. Don't forget the podcast will be on this website. It'll also be on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Google, Anchor, and any place you listen to podcasts. Love you, Mom. Love you, Dad. Love you, Maureen. So long, everybody.